it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Okay, welcome to the post-apocalyptic edition of the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm Gene Bolduc, your host, with Penny Rich, my perennial guest, who is our senior eclipse correspondent.
Absolutely.
Correspondent.
Yeah.
That makes sure. Anyway.
Yeah.
How was the eclipse? I was out of town to go see the eclipse in Akron, Ohio, which was perfectly awesome. How was it in Hillsborough? What is the local report?
Well, in the courthouse.
First of all, did everything stop?
So, you know, it's interesting. Yes and no. Because, you know, the excitement of what was going on did bring everything to a little bit of a halt. So, you know, people left their offices and went outside. The entire DA's office was on the lawn at the courthouse. So all you have to do is go look at them, and they're all looking up at the sky. In the courthouse, it was really quite, the courthouse is very pretty. I don't know if people understand that, because usually when you go into court, it's not a good day.
But yeah, that's a good point.
It's a very pretty courthouse, and it faces to the west. So that's where the eclipse was happening, as wow. in the sky. So we didn't have enough glasses. We were out in the lobby taking turns, sharing glasses, not only with the staff of the clerk's office, but some of the people that were in the courthouse actually came and brought glasses with them to stay in the courthouse, because knew it was going to be a good spot. Yeah, yeah. So it was really kind of fun. We, you know, it was about a 15 minute, I don't know how long you were. You were probably out there a lot longer than this. So, you know, people came and went for 15 minutes and until we got to that peak time about 3:14, 3:15. And then you could see it actually on the tiles in the courthouse, on the ground of the courthouse.
Which is great, because that's a nice safe way to
watch it. Yeah. Unlike our former president, who decided to look directly into the sun. I know, I had to bring it up. But it was lovely. It's something like that really brings people together, Gene. I know your experience.
So interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. The dynamic. It just didn't matter where everybody came from or what brought them to that part of town or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was exactly our experience in Ohio.
That's great. Do tell. Yeah.
Well, you know, we at my son's insistence, because he went to South Carolina in 2017. So he experienced this thing of when there's totality, and he found it so extraordinary that he has been pushing for us to go find a place where we could all experience this together. And a few weeks ago, I said, well, now look, let's sit down and see. I used a technique that I learned from a thing that my son was involved in, my other son, when he was in like fifth grade, future problem solver. So let's find out what the outcome is that we're looking for and then work our way back from that. Let's figure out what the problems are that are in our way and try to solve them and see if we can use that as a decision-making process. And so we did, and we found accommodations. We figured out, you know, the route, how long it would take us to get there. There were things of my son's figuring out time off from work, and we had to get all those approvals. And it, you know, it was complicated. It was really something that they were able to get all this coordination done and pull it off. And we had to convince children ages 6 and 4 that this was going to be an exciting thing, because it really didn't sound that exciting to them. They were like, there's no rides.
What do you mean?
there's what are we talking about? There's no water slide. So we were able to coax them into this in part by saying, well, this is what we're doing. We think you should come with us. But also by saying, well, there's a pool at the hotel. And I told my daughter-in-law, I said, listen, I've done a few field trips in my day. Let me tell you something. You're going to take these kids to this extraordinary event. And then when they get home and their friends ask them about it, if they do at all, what they're going to explain was the greatest thing about the whole trip was running up and down the hallway in the hotel.
Of course, the hotel.
I promise you, this is true.
Right.
Absolutely, completely true.
Absolutely.
And also free ice. I don't know why this is a fascination for children, but it is. You mean I can go to the ice machine whenever I want which Winter really enjoyed the independence of. That's okay. I'll go and I'll be back. Just I'm going to come back and knock on the door. So they.
Wait, can I just set time out? Time out. How much ice did your family actually need to consume? Were there cocktails involved?
I know there were not cocktails, but I needed ice for my shoulder from time to time.
Okay.
And so this was the primary driver.
Okay.
It's an activity. It's an activity. Mm-hmm. So there was one adult beverage that I received.
Okay, I knew there were.
That's the truth. But in any case, we were very lucky, if you will, since it turns out that the indoor swimming pool at the hotel was closed. Sorry for the inconvenience. Ugh. But there was a library immediately adjacent to the hotel.
Perfect.
And they put on a solar eclipse watch party. And so they provided chairs, like 100 chairs in the parking lot. They had sidewalk chalk for the kids. They had activity books to entertain them with little quizzes and mazes and various things.
Nice.
They had water. They were, and cookies. I mean, they were so, I went
they
up
really
and
did a good
them.
Job. Yeah.
I thanked them profusely. I said, listen, libraries rock is mm-hmm. all about that. And Orange yeah. County Library System, if you're listening, I'm talking about you.
Yeah. Well, you know, libraries had to reinvent themselves after like Kindle, and you can get everything online. So they did have to come up with all these new sort of activities to keep everybody invested. And so
I mean,
good for them.
Just a lovely thing for them. All of these people came from who knows where, because I mean, we did because we saw a flyer in the hotel and we saw that we could just walk there. We said, well, look, we're going to go outside and look around to watch the eclipse anyway.
Right.
And so we walked over there. It was the greatest thing ever. Rob brought a couple of Bluetooth speakers and he queued up The Dark Side of the Moon exactly at the right time for it to reach the last track at the moment of totality.
Nice.
The last track, as you probably know, because your age is close to mine.
Yeah.
The last track of that album is the track called Eclipse.
Right.
And so he went around, asked the people around us if it would be okay with them if he played this music, and everybody was very enthusiastically in agreement. He asked the library staff. He was great. He was ran this thing like an event manager at the moment of totality, which is a remarkable phenomenon mm-hmm. to experience. It gets dark, the street lights come on, there's some wind involved because of what happens in the physical geography of wherever you are. The temperature drops. It's eerie. I can see why cultures long, long ago who didn't know that was coming would be thinking, this is it.
It's the end. It's the end of the world. Yeah.
I can easily understand that, especially if they had around them, which we did not, if they had a lot of animals living in the wild, they do some spooky things, you know?
They do. Yeah. Well, so do humans. We just don't want to recognize
but
it.
But we know it's coming. So we
yeah,
know
that's true.
About it, except for right. Marjorie Taylor Greene, but that's different.
Well, that's come on now.
So So I hate to, include her in my recollection. No. But anyway, so this comes along at the moment of totality, which you guys couldn't do.
Mm-mm.
But we could at the moment of totality, which lasted, I think, just under 3 minutes at our location. You take the glasses off.
Right. Yeah.
And you're looking at this big black ball with the corona of the sun all around it. And the stars come out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
you can
we're
see
looking
the stars.
At,
Interesting.
We're looking
yeah.
at planets. We can see Venus and Mars and
because it is truly always there.
Also in alignment as well.
Right. It's truly always there, right? You just don't see it because the sun is outshining
right.
everything.
Sure. Yeah. They're there right? all along. But one of the most amazing things was, as I was telling you before we started our conversation on air, is that even with the tiniest sliver of the sun still showing, the little Cheshire Cat mm-hmm. smile of the sun just before totality, it looks like a dim version of daylight outside.
Yeah.
The sun being so powerful, it can still throw that much illumination.
right,
to the earth. And when you look at this, you have to ask yourself, as humans, how can we possibly tolerate the full sun?
I know all the time. Well, it's interesting. As you're speaking about this, it reminds me when I rode my bike through Alaska, and it was during the summertime. So the sun actually never went down. It was it was like dusk.
Right.
And that's kind of what you're talking
about.
That's
kind of,
so,
yeah, that's
right?
What it was like. That's right. Yeah. It was just like Alaska in the summer. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And
which
know,
was
that
remarkable.
Would really take some getting used to, I think.
I would think so too. But then you got to remember the reverse in the winter is it's always dark. Right. So you don't, you know, but it was tough. I mean, in Alaska, it was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you're still outside playing because it's still like 8:30 in your brain, right? Like it's hard to go to sleep when it's
you're a
light
wild
out
woman.
Like that.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I require a dark, dark room to
sleep. Me too.
That's
I like
one
it
of the
dark,
reasons
dark, dark.
I don't often sleep well in hotels. It's
Yes.
hard to get a hotel room as dark as you want it.
Right,
And
right.
sometimes, but you know, like blackout curtains and stuff. I mean, it makes a difference especially if you're light sensitive.
Right,
So
well, I'm glad you had such a great time. Do you think
I
the
did.
kids are going to remember any of it or just running around in the halls?
Well, I'm quite sure that Winter, who is 6 and a half, will definitely remember it.
Yeah.
He was really into it. He was like really bebopping to the music and really enjoying it. And just, he was just taking it in. Elver, I'm not sure. You know,
Yeah.
he's 4. But, you know, at the
You
time,
never know.
in the immediate situation, he thought it was perfectly awesome. And they were just talking about it afterwards. And of course, we will talk about it, about our memories of it. And it's, you know, we have 1,000 pictures of it.
Of course you do,
We have pictures of the kids experiencing this. And, you know, those things reinforce memories.
Of course,
Tremendously.
So what's the next one, Jean? Like 20 years?
The next one in the United States is in 2033.
2033, okay.
And that goes through California and across like Arizona and Texas.
Okay, so you better start planning now. Tell Rob to start planning now.
I think I'm right about this. I beg your pardon. That's the one that's in 2045. The one in 2033 goes across Alaska, which is in the United States.
Well, according to some people, but yeah, okay.
Well, it's in North America.
North America, yeah, well, we'll take it.
And a lot of us feel like, you know, it's part of the United
it's
States.
It's part of the United States,
even though we produce some bizarre politicians out of that state, but
I'll tell you, let's not go there right now, but yeah.
And then the next one, which oh yes, there are people in my house who want to go, is in Spain. And it will cross over Spain. And actually not much else in Europe. There's another one a few years after that, I think, that goes across Africa and parts of the Middle East. But in terms of the United States, yeah, it's about another 20 years. So you know, I'll be in our 80s and
I don't know.
We'll have to see what
we'll
can
see
do.
What happens. Yeah.
We'll have to roll out the wheelchairs.
Yeah, it's all right with me. I don't
maybe
mind
we'll
wheels.
all be in Florida by then. And if Florida's still attached.
Nah, Florida's going to be in the water.
It'll be
we
in the
keep
water.
Them. Yeah,
well,
we keep doing it.
That's a warming thought. What I did there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break just to eclipse our conversation. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. And I think there's some basketball to talk about. We'll see what we can come up with. We'll be right back.
Tendons.
Okay, we're back with Penny Rich. We're just talking about the Zoom lady. You know, we just find her
just
so relaxing. She's like the voice of a massage. It's just amazing. Anyway,
so soothing.
It's and probably is a computer. So, so Penny, over that very same weekend, I must say, I watched some of the most exciting basketball I've ever seen, and I guess the men played also.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that funny?
Now,
yeah
my husband, as you know, went to UConn, and
that's
so
right.
UConn women lost to Iowa, you know, as a result of a controversial call. An offensive foul was called on UConn with I don't know, 3 seconds, if that much.
It was a foul, though. It was a foul. There's no question about it.
I think I
could have let it go.
James, I think, tweeted something about it, like, you know, why are you calling that right at the
right.
end? You know, it seemed inconsistent with what was being called for the rest of the game. But I have to say, I mean, a couple of things. First of all, UConn star player Paige Beckers said in the presser after the game, that's not the foul. That doesn't explain why we lost.
Hmm.
She said, we lost because of several mistakes that I made. She took this entirely on herself.
Hmm. Interesting.
She is there. Yeah. You know, their marquee player. And she could easily identify multiple things that she did. She's not wrong that she, like every human being and like every basketball player, had shots that she felt like she should have made.
Right.
That's fair. And she's just being truthful and objective. And part of what she was doing, I felt, was saying, don't drop a truckload of you know what on the Iowa players because they won the game and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game. You know, it's like missing a putt in golf because somebody in the crowd coughed or something.
All right.
I'd rather not have that, but
you're
the guy with the club in your hand and
please,
you played the round, and if you were ahead by four, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right. You know?
And so it was that sort of, I took that sort of attitude from it. And then when South Carolina prevailed in the final and won their game, both extremely exciting games.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
Thrilling games. What did she do? What did the coach for South Carolina do, Dawn Staley? What did she do? Did she say, well, you know, basically, I'm a Hall of Fame coach. What did you expect? We're undefeated. No, she didn't say anything like that. She said, let me talk for a minute about my gratitude for Caitlin Clark, and said several things about Caitlin Clark and how she's lifted up the game, driven up viewership, generated tremendous excitement
right.
about the game.
Yeah, she
the
has.
Game, not just the women's game, basketball, college basketball.
Right.
And you know what? I just couldn't agree with that more. I
yeah.
You know, how do you explain what Michael Jordan did for the game?
Right. No, it's a phenomena. And it's so interesting that, and you and I were talking a little bit before we came on the air, you know, the sportscasters, they were like, oh, basketball was amazing. Oh, and you know, the men were okay also.
By the way, the men played too,
the
apparently.
Men, yeah. So let's just talk about how many people watch the men versus women. Now, this is so unusual because this very rarely happens. It was 18.9 million people watched the women's final.
Women's final at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
On a Sunday afternoon, and I actually went to a bar. It was packed. And we usually go to this bar on Sunday afternoon to, you know, just get the last beer in before we all have to start the week again. There's maybe five people
slammed,
at the
right?
bar.
Yep.
Yeah, it was slam. 14.8 million
watched the men's.
Yeah.
Now the interesting part about that too is that one could opine that the men's was something of a fait accompli because, you know, UConn was so heavily favored to win. So
right.
was South Carolina.
So,
South Carolina
right.
was undefeated.
Undefeated. That's right.
Nobody thought anybody was going to beat South Carolina.
Right.
But I watched partly because in my heart, I wanted to see Caitlin win.
Yeah.
But
well, that's
I
true.
mainly
But
wanted to see her play. I was happy with the
exactly.
outcome either way.
Yeah. And you know what I have to say, you know, I think the South Carolina team deserved it because they were undefeated. The coach is an amazing coach. You just described one reason why, but she really does, you know, speak from the heart. Her players all love her. She loves them. And so, you know, like you said, the outcome was a great outcome. It didn't matter who won. Just watching those two teams play.
Right.
What,
right.
Just phenomenal.
It just was a sensational.
Yeah.
It reminded me very, very much of the 1982 Carolina team winning the championship for Dean Smith, his first national championship, and watching Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Jimmy Black. You're watching these guys and you know that is something really special. Jordan, especially, everybody knew this guy is just going to light the pros on fire. It's just going to be unlike anything you've ever seen.
Right.
And you know, before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, there was an NBA, but not like there was after that rivalry.
Right.
You know, came from Michigan
after that group
State
joined
and,
them.
And went into the pros.
Oh yeah.
It's just transformative. And let me tell you, that is exactly what's going to happen in the WNBA. And I have to ask myself this. You tell me the answer to this. Why can't Caitlin Clark play for the Boston Celtics?
Right, exactly. Well, that's a good question. And because, I mean, if you think about what's going to happen to her and most of these women that are moving into the pros now, the top salary they can make is $76,000 a year. You got these guys making signing contracts for tens of billion dollars.
Oh, they're
going
to have to change that. It has to change.
It has to change.
Players union. Yeah, you have to realize too. What were these teams working with? What budget did they have?
Right.
How did they come up with the salary cap? Well, you know what? I think you better get out your pencil and redo the math, because first of all, I think I'm very confident that Caitlin can make more money in franchising herself.
Oh yeah.
In merch
and endorsements, herself. Of course. Yeah.
Merch that she's going to move is going to be.
Well, already. Come on. I was walking around Carrboro and Chapel Hill and saw people wearing Iowa sweatshirts. When do you ever see that in
when
Chapel Hill?
When would you
Carrboro?
ever see that?
I mean, it just doesn't happen. So yeah.
That's right.
It's if it's not blue, it's not on you, right?
You remember Nike's Be Like Mike campaign?
Yes, yes.
Well, let me tell you what's right around the corner. Be like Caitlin.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of this following the UConn women over the years. A lot of campaigns about around Mia Hamm and Play Like a Girl. Randy Chastain, Play Like a Girl. And this stuff is just going to reach the next level now.
I hope so.
For college basketball. And I think it's spectacular to see. I'm thrilled to see it happen. And, you know, we were like on Sunday afternoon, well, you know, there might be other things to do here in Akron, Ohio. We're watching this game.
That's right.
We're going to sit in this hotel room. We're going to
And we're going to watch the game.
And, you know, I think I mentioned in my column a week or so ago that when Rick and I were in Myrtle Beach for our anniversary in January, we were in our favorite restaurant, Chuck's Steakhouse. And in the bar, a little ways away from where we were sitting, the bar was packed. Why? That was the night of the South Carolina LSU game. And the pregame show was on in the bar, and everybody was really into it. People are cheering from time to time. This is just for the pregame show.
Sure.
You're showing highlights of like a mashup of all the times that Caitlin Clark has hurled that ball from the logo in Iowa and dropped it, which, by the way, I think you ought to get. I think if you're standing on your team's logo in the middle of the court, you should get 4 points for that. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But anyway, they're showing this repeated over and over from various different games and all that stuff. And people are going nuts. She's not even going to play in the game that they're covering. But they're showing her highlights. And then they show the highlights of South Carolina winning game after game after game. And saying, you know, they're still undefeated. This is in January.
Right.
And they're undefeated in January. Well, you know, they were probably the last undefeated team in January. And but the place was going crazy. And this wasn't an all-woman conference or something. This was a bar. And seeing South Carolina people going crazy for the South Carolina team in South Carolina was really great. That was
and good for them, right? Yeah.
That was so much fun. Well, listen, we're going to have even more fun talking to Penny, probably about a little bit more basketball. We'll see. Mm. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back. See ya. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, and we're just going to wind up our conversation about college basketball. Let me just say again, still, continuously, oh my God, Carolina was so good this year. It was so
what a great team.
To watch them. What a great team.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, they finished in an extremely difficult game. And I'm just so proud of them. I wish them all the best. And I think the world of Coach Davis, and I just feel like the program's got a lot of really good years ahead. I hope I'm right that they're going to have a great recruiting year.
I think they will too. You know, we might have a year or two of building, but they were so much fun to watch this year. And so it was just really, I was just proud to root them on at every step of the way. I was very disappointed when they lost, though, because I thought they were really, I had them on my brackets to go all the way. So of course I was disappointed in that too, because my brackets
got
busted.
You know whose brackets may have had this one or that one that weren't correct, but you know who called it all the way to the finish?
The UConn?
Barack Obama,
yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
UConn and South Carolina.
Yeah, but you know what?
Come
no,
on.
What?
Are they not obviously the
right,
first
right?
The,
yeah. But let's, we also, I know we don't really like to do this often, but we have to give a shout out to NC State because.
Oh, yeah, man.
For goodness
how
sake,
much fun. Oh, my
how much
gosh.
Fun was it to watch both men and women get there? I mean, they weren't over their heads once they got to that game that they couldn't make it anymore, but it was
but you
fun.
Know what? I mean, neither of them, the programs have been there in a. The women have never been to the Final Four,
right.
And the men, there's nobody in the organization really that
that's
has an
members.
institutional memory of going.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the kind of thing that once you break through and get to the Final Four,
right,
then you will tend to be the kind of team that gets to the Sweet 16 and gets to the Final Four.
Right.
And they're going to have a great recruiting year too.
I believe so.
I just felt like DJ Burns was so much fun to watch.
Oh my
I
goodness.
Just couldn't take my eyes off that kid.
He's so cute. And he was having so much fun.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's contagious.
His laugh, his smile. I mean, even when they were going down, he was still, his heart was in there and his smile was in there.
What did they say? He's part polar bear and part ballerina.
Oh my goodness.
I love it.
Unbelievable.
Love it.
It was fun to watch.
Completely
fun.
Accurate. And man, oh man, he can shoot, Penny.
Yeah.
He can move in the paint. I mean, he is not a delicate person.
No, no.
But, you know, his moves are deliberate, and he's got a hook shot, and he can shoot free throws. This guy can play.
Yeah,
he can. He's going to be in the NBA, right?
Oh, I think he will, because he's big enough. You know, he's going to,
yeah.
They'll obviously work on him when he gets to the NBA to make him fall in line again in a little bit of shape, you know.
Yeah, a
And
little
yes, he
bit,
can make it.
But I
He
hope
can
they don't
make it.
wreck him. Don't wreck
Well,
him.
They won't. But he can make it up and down that court like anyone else. Like the first time I saw him, I'm like, wow, is this guy going to make it up and down the court? Oh, yes, he can.
Oh, yes, he can.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he
Oh,
can.
yes, he can.
Yeah.
Because periodically he stops on the perimeter and bang. You
Yeah.
remember that one in the game that got them to the, was it that
the,
got
the
them
Final Four.
The ACC championship, I think, or
Oh,
got
yes. Yeah.
The championship game. He drops his first 3-point shot ever. Yeah, I love the kid. I felt like, and I'm calling him a kid, I think he's 24.
Yeah, well, he's still a kid.
Which is a little on the ancient side for college basketball players.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. Well, they all had to deal with the COVID, so they got a little extra play
yeah,
time.
They got a little, I mean, you know, like Baycott got a little extra
Yeah,
time.
yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure all the records that all of them made, including Caitlin's, you know,
Have the
are probably going
asterisks.
to have an asterisk, but
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't either.
I still want a Caitlin jersey. If anyone's listening and
Ooh.
doing Mother's Day shopping, Mother's Day will be
Ooh.
here before you know it.
There you go.
So everybody should think about this and encourage mothers everywhere to play like a girl, which means occasionally you have to throw an elbow.
Uh-huh.
You as a mom.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
enforce the law. Sometimes you got to throw an elbow.
Yeah.
I'm
Speaking
not
about throwing
talking about
elbows.
hitting anybody. I'm talking about within the parameters of the game now.
Well, let's segue about throwing elbows. What's going on in the world? What do we got going on in the United States
Well,
right
you
now?
know, apparently apparently there's some form of a criminal trial that's going to start in
Seriously.
your hometown. And I, you know, we should just take a quick break and come back and talk about it. I'm sure that our listeners probably have heard little or nothing about it.
Not from us, that's for sure.
We'll take that. We'll take this moment to enjoy our palate cleanser and then come back and gargle with this awful concoction as we make our way into the summer of criminal trials of Donald J. Trump. And we're talking to Penny Rich.
She said it. She
not
said
from
it.
The courthouse. Yeah, I said his name. It's 10,000 points against me. He who should not be named has been named.
That's right. Named.
The eclipse starer.
Actually,
not quite blinded eclipse watcher. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill.
Donnie.
Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, and you know, just to prove that we can take a beautiful conversation and turn it into a big pile of you know what,
right down the
drain. Bring up the former president's criminal trial is going to start on Monday, the 15th. It is going to start on Monday, the 15th. The judge has made very clear he's not going to be delayed any longer. Although I think that between now and Monday, Penny, you should expect that Trump is going to. I predict these two things. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but this is what I predict. I think that he will, these are things that criminal defendants often do on the eve of trial. I'm going to say these three things. One, try to fire all of his lawyers, all of them, so that then he can say to the judge, Judge, we can't start the trial. I don't have representation. He can't do that without the court's permission.
Oh, I know that.
And I know you know that. And so that permission will be denied.
Right.
Okay. So that's one thing. The second thing is he will come down with a mysterious illness.
That I think about that one.
Won't make him seem that sick. Remember Harvey Weinstein suddenly?
Oh, yeah. Suddenly in a wheelchair, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might. Because the hour is nigh for him to be convicted of crimes. You know, he wants to run for president and all that. He wants to get elected president so he can stay out of jail. But when it comes to actually getting to the trial, he doesn't want the trial now in New York. He can't do anything about this conviction when it happens, even if he gets elected president. So many criminal defendants suddenly develop mysterious symptoms that require medical attention. They turn up at the emergency room and, you know, and so on and so on, so that they can't arrive at trial. The problem with that strategy is that it would hurt him politically, probably, unless, of course, it's stress-related exhaustion from his martyrdom.
Right.
he could make that work for him.
I'm clearing my throat on that.
I put nothing past that. And the third option, which happens a lot of the time, probably most of the time, is to make a deal, is to say, okay, I'll plead guilty to this and this if you'll drop all of those. And I think he may try between now and Monday to make a deal with D.A. Bragg.
What is he going to say he's guilty of, though? Of the hush money? I mean, what is he going to say?
Well,
that's the major...
You know, he and his lawyers will pick the least problematic of the offenses and say, we'll give you a conviction. We'll plead guilty on these four, and you got to throw out the rest. That's the deal. That's the deal that they would want, and then they'll negotiate. Yeah. Hey, the art of the deal, Penny.
Well, he didn't write that, by the way, but okay.
Now, if you were District Attorney Bragg and you had the case that you have, which is a really
pretty solid,
solid case.
Solid, yeah.
Would you offer, would you make a deal with him? I would not.
I don't know. I would not either. But, you know, so far we've not been, Well, we should not be surprised about anything that's happened in any of the other cases, right? You know, you owe $500 million, you wind up paying $175 million, and so far so good, right?
Well,
I know
well,
he
wait
still
a minute
money.
Now. That's only the bond. That's not the penalty.
I know.
And the Attorney General of New York has made a filing to question.
I saw that today. Yeah.
Which means that could get thrown out. I don't think it will, but it could.
It could.
I think the thing to really watch, if you're really interested, is the Florida case.
Mm.
I do think that Jack Smith has had enough with Judge Cannon and her nonsense down there. And I think he's going to make a filing in a court of appeals to get her thrown off.
To have her removed, yeah. But that doesn't have to start all over again then?
She's just, well, it depends.
I mean, you know,
It depends. You get another judge from that same circuit, and they'll have to allow time for that judge to get read in. But you know, here's what will happen. That judge is not going to be determined to protract this for as long as possible in favor of the defendant. That mm-hmm. judge is going to say, okay, in 30 days, we're going to trial.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, you and I are
and he can't do that after the trial begins because jeopardy attaches. Right. And so if Jack Smith is going to try to do that, he needs to do it now.
Yeah, he needs to move on.
His office is showing every sign that they've had enough and that there have been multiple reversals. And I think they're going to pull the trigger and do that. We'll watch and see. But of course, the best show in town is going to be
Monday
in Manhattan on Monday.
Yeah, it's jury selection, right? We're going to start with that and we'll see
and
what happens. We'll go from there.
He has to be there, Penny, every day.
Yeah.
To see if he can contain himself in a criminal courtroom where he's never been except for arraignment.
Folks, I'm shaking my head.
Keep his damn mouth shut.
No, no,
and not get charged. He's showing every sign. And I really do think the Secret Service has probably worked this out with the court already. That if he gets charged with contempt and they need to incarcerate him, what they're going to do? What are they going to do to take him off the street?
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
He's calling himself Nelson Mandela. I'll go to jail for you because I'm like Nelson. The guy's got a real complex going.
You think?
Real martyr complex going.
You think?
But you know, I'm not worried about him, Penny, because he'll take his Bible with him. the evangelical movement with him down into the swamp.
Well, most of them are there and in jail for him already, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's a disgrace. What's going on?
It's absolutely disgraceful. Absolutely.
I mean, Bibles. To you know, the Bible, for folks who hadn't thought about it this way, the Bible, you can sell a Bible. You can publish a Bible. I can publish a Bible. It's long out of copyright. So it's in public domain. So
you can also,
with your introduction.
Sure. You can also get it for free.
You
don't have to buy a Bible.
Publish your you can probably, frankly, go to any hotel
and put one in your
from the Gideons who leave it there because they want you to take it.
They want you to take it. You don't have to buy a Bible. It has a constitution in it too. Who
it
thought
also
that was
has
a good
the Constitution
idea?
And the Declaration of Independence in it, which
that's
is
a good
an abomination
idea
to put that in the same published volume as the Holy Bible.
But it says Trump on the front. It says Trump on the front.
You know, not the Federalist Papers, boy. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Because if you put those in the same volume together, as soon as you published it, it would burst into flames.
That's right. I think that's right.
Sure. So everybody's kind of burned out from all the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Can't
mm-hmm.
take it anymore. So you're just going to have to make your popcorn. Everybody watch the Masters this weekend.
Oh, look at you.
It starts
tomorrow
morning. We're recording on Wednesday. It'll start tomorrow morning.
Right.
Of course, all the lazy sports raiders are saying, Tiger Woods, will he or won't he? Listen, spoiler, okay? He won't.
He won't. Yeah,
won't.
I know.
The guy can barely walk around the course. He won't. I think he plays well and has a great tournament. He is not going to contend to win the Masters. Okay?
Yeah.
He's very, very lucky.
He's lucky he's standing. So yeah.
Well, thanks to himself. He's very lucky that he can walk.
Exactly.
So, have a great tournament, Tiger. Bring all the people out. Tiger Woods did for golf what Caitlin Clark is going to do for women's basketball on the professional level. I adore her. I wish every good thing for her. I hope she makes zillions and zillions of dollars, LeBron James kind of money, because I know that she will do good things with it just as he does.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune.
That's true. Yeah.
I have so much admiration for this.
Yeah.
For both of them. And
both of them, yeah. He's amazing. He opens schools and just takes care of kids. And he's just, I mean,
thousands of kids through college.
Through college. I mean, unbelievable.
I mean,
yeah.
And this is a guy, let me just point this out if you didn't know. This is a guy who didn't go to college.
He did not go to college. He was drafted from high school.
Full scholarship, by the way.
Yeah, he was drafted right from high school into the NBA. Yeah,
that's right. Didn't go to college, but he's put thousands of kids through college.
There
and
you
there's
go.
nothing but admiration for that. So good things are coming. These are all good things to know. People get together who don't know each other just because of a celestial event. Everybody cheers and has a great time and expresses appreciation for each other on a simple human level. I feel great about where we are as a nation. The less television news you watch, the better you feel. That's
absolutely. That's why they have to listen to the water cooler, right? Forget
about
the
messaging of the other guys.
Please.
They're counting on you being freaked out.
Freaked out and scared. Yeah, don't be.
Watch the trial, make your popcorn, and then have some ice cream. Life is too short.
That's right.
And join us next week at the Weekend Water Cooler.
All right. Have a great week, everyone.
Well, thank you again, as always, Penny Rich. And and you know, folks, when you're going out, cheer for your team, enjoy yourselves, look up at the sky once in a while, but don't stare at the sun like some people do.
Oish.
And be safe. And if you're staying in, keep it right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.